everyone, and thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Beyond Reform, where we discuss matters of public sector transformation. From customer service to human resource management, making better use of technology, and so much more. On this program, it is all about how we achieve a more efficient and effective public service. But then again, what does that really mean? Stick around, and I'm sure you will get the answers. I am Aniki Clark, your host, and I'm always joined by an interesting group of persons who can help us to dissect the issues. Today, we are discussing human resource management transformation with Trudy and James Linton, HRM Transformation Lead in the Transformation Implementation Unit, Colleen Young-Patterson, Director Organization Development at the Tax Administration, Jamaica, and a thorn among the roses, David Knight, Director of Human Resource Management at the Jamaica Information Service. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hi, Aniki.
David, you've been an HR practitioner for over 20 years. You've seen HR change. Take us through that evolution.
That's a very interesting and exciting question. I can recall when I joined the public service, the HR function wasn't even referred to as an HR function. It was referred to as personnel management. And it was more an approach which focus, for some people say, well, you just focus on records management, record keeping. It was rule bound and procedure driven, to use some of the public administration terms.
Yes.
And over the years, through different reform programs and change initiatives, we have seen an evolution to the human resource management and a strategic human resource management approach to HR. We're talking about seeing a shift where in those early days, almost every appointment came from the services commission signed by the chief personnel officer or somebody for the chief personnel officer. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about a centralized kind of HR in the earlier days to one which is now, we have gone through delegation and devolution, meaning we have moved the decision making from the center into the organization, into ministries, into agencies, into statutory bodies, you know, based on their different instruments and authority.
Mm-hmm.
And a big takeaway in terms of the transformation and the change is to see the people, the human resources, as your most important asset, or some say capital, and some people may not like us referring to ourselves or each other as capital or asset, but is to say that without people and recognizing the value of the people, their skills, their competencies, and all that they bring to the job, you cannot get the results that you want. So you have to develop them, you have to train them, you have to motivate them, you have to reward them. So more of these things, rewards and recognition programs now are a daisy in HR practice. And HR must demonstrate that it adds value.
Yes.
It must be at the seat of decision making and helping to inform decision making. So we don't keep records for records' sake.
Right.
We use the metrics to help with the decision making. More and more, the human resource practice has to demonstrate that it adds value. You have to show what is your return on investment for that training program, for that initiative. We have to demonstrate to management, demonstrate to the country what we need to do and what we are doing, what people are doing to add value. So customer service is a big thing. That's another program.
Right.
But getting our human resource trained, our teams in the different ministries, agencies, and departments trained to have a new mindset, a new outlook, and to have the skills to engage our customers better is important.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue to Colleen. Colleen, you're in OD. What's working for you in public sector HR, and what are some of those areas we need to change?
What's working is the fact that digitalization is real and it's happening in government. My HR Plus is a game changer for HR in terms of how we operate in government. as it relates to automation, and as Mr. Knight spoke about records, we're separating ourselves on manual records. So that's the first thing in government, because persons think of government, they think about files and stock of papers, but we're moving to digitalize how we operate and having things online and automation. So that's the first step in the right direction for GOJ as it relates to transformation.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of some of those areas that you think we could pay greater attention to, you mentioned moving away from paper-based systems and so on. You want to elaborate?
Right.
On that?
One of the things that I've recognized, and being a part of the change management team, you realize that persons tend to resist change. So even though automation and digitalization is important, you find that a lot of persons resist because they want to hold on to the paper. So what I would recommend is, how can we get persons to understand that this will actually make your life easier? How can we get down to ramp up communication, promotion, make a big deal out of selling automation in government, and to get the actual persons on the ground who are working and using the records to understand that, listen, automation, digitalization will help you to get your job done faster in a more efficient and effective way.
Yes, I see. They
I just add something. I'm thinking of the early days when you applied for leave.
Right.
And you write up that leave form, and it goes through the supervisor through. So if you are working in Westmoreland in certain departments, it has to move from your supervisor to the manager to the county to until it reached Kingston. And then by the time it gets back to you, maybe I've gone and leave and come back. Now, with the digitalization, with the modern things that we have for HR, people can get a response. You apply, you get the approval almost instantly.
And that's what my HR Plus
does. And that's
yes.
what my HR Plus does. Yes. Right.
But David, I want to take you back to a point you made earlier about HR being central to the strategic direction of the organization. Is that how it works in the public sector?
Well, I would say that it varies, because when I listen to some of my colleagues in HR, some are concerned that, you know, our voices are not always listened to. That sometimes you may have some decisions being made, and then later on, you know, HR is asked to catch up. And if we want to make good decisions, it's important to get all the players on board, including HR, because sometimes there are labor laws and HR regulations which are relevant to those decisions, including also other issues which will impact on employees, or you even communicate, or do you prepare them for these changes. So HR need to be seen as strategic and a business partner to management decision. You know, we're going to advise on what is the workforce and, you know, those who are retiring and the replacement, and mm-hmm. what do we need to do. How do we recruit? Are we going to recruit only internally, or we need to do some headhunting, or we need to get some secondment from other organizations to build the capacity, or we send persons elsewhere? A lot of people think it's easy and everybody going to do an HR degree, but we need to know that this is not simple business. There are some hard part in there too. And it's about people's life, but it's also ensuring that the organization is able to achieve its objective by having the right people in the right place and equipping them to deliver service the right time.
And that's a lovely note on which we take our first break. When we come back, we talk some more about how do we get HR to be more strategic, and we'll delve into the new HR operating model. If you've just joined us, you've been listening to a conversation on HR transformation with me, Aniki Clark, Trudy and James Linton, Colleen Young-Patterson, and David Knight. So grab your coffee, grab a cup of tea or something, nothing too strong, and come back for part two of the conversation.
Ms. Henry, the acting permanent secretary wants to know what the critical skills are that we'll need for the new division. She needs this for the upcoming planning retreat. Oh, and it would make sense to indicate the mission critical roles as part of the brief.
What did you say, Mrs. Peters? What kind of information? Where am I to get that? We don't have that kind of information.
Speak with Miss Bent. She recently did the strategic workforce planning course and can help you pull the information together. You can also get some data from the My HR Plus Shared Service Center.
Yes. Yes, she was really talking about how good the course was and that she would like to apply what she learned.
The government of Jamaica will be introducing a new operating model for the management of human resources in the public sector. The new model will reorganize how HR departments now operate to achieve greater levels of effectiveness and efficiency. This is a progress update on public sector transformation brought to you by the Transformation Implementation Unit. For more information, visit publicsectortransformation.gov.jl.
Now that you've grabbed your cup of coffee or tea and come back to listen to more of the conversation, welcome back. I'm Aniki Clark and we've been discussing HR transformation in the public sector with David, Colleen and Trudianne. And we spoke earlier about how HR has evolved, some of those areas that we would like to see improvements in going forward. And that leads us nicely into what that new HR could look like. And I know, Trudianne, you are the HR transformation lead in the TIU. Could you tell us about the new operating model that the unit is seeking to roll out across the public sector?
Thanks, Aniki. The HR operating model is really a combination of the vision and the values of how we intend to deliver services and ensuring that the competencies required for each of those services is actually in place. And so, of course, you know, coming out of several consultations with our HR community, we would have come up with a vision for public sector transformation and, of course, public sector HR. And that's really, as you're talking about in the previous segment, that it's, HR is really central to how transformation will evolve. And we've spent a lot of resources, you know, looking at technology and looking at the buildings and other things, but we've not really spent a lot of time on the people and the change management that we spoke about in the earlier segment as well. How do we get people to buy into what it is that is of benefit to them?
Right.
Because sometimes people see, you know, some challenges and threats and really not the opportunities that are available. And so we have that vision of making sure that HR delivers fairly, that we have a performance that is at the required level. And the model also talks about three main pillars, the centers of expertise, the HR business partner, and the HR shared services that we now call My HR Plus Shared Services. And this is really just looking at a different delivery. So David would have spoken about centralization when we just started in the public service. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at a different way of delivering HR. So we have a center that right now comprises of the Strategic Human Resource Management Division under the Ministry of Finance and the Public Service and part of the Office of the Services Commissions. And really the intent is for those persons there and some of those functions to become true subject matter experts.
What does that mean?
So again, for particular areas like organizational design, like compensation for industrial relations, there is a certain level of centralization that we still need to have, that we make sure that we are looking at a global approach.
For consistency.
Exactly. Right. And I mean standardization and making sure that we're looking at what is coming next and preparing. So while we may not be looking at next practice, we want to make sure what is best for our local context.
Understood.
So we have those pillars of the centers of expertise, HR business partners, which now, as you know, moving from the personnel management and the personnel administration now to having HR really function as a true partner and inform decisions, having the people perspective that they alone possess. How is it that the workforce needs to look? What are the competencies required? How can we contribute to Vision 2030 as a public service?
Right.
And then, of course, Shared Services Center providing that administrative expertise. So those are three of the main pillars. And of course, built on the foundations of the technology, like My HR Plus and other forms of technology in the public service, to give us the data that we need to make evidence-based decisions. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, looking at metrics and informing decisions, doing the forecasting and the proper planning. And so all of that in terms of the new roles needs to be supported in terms of capacity development interventions.
Yes, because you don't just wake up and become a business partner tomorrow.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. So we've been doing some of those things, and I know we'll speak a little bit more to what that looks like further on in our discussion.
Let's get right into it.
So one of the things I'm happy about and being part of the TIU is that, you know, we have recognized some of the gaps. And that's no reflection on the persons who have been doing those jobs, because again, things evolve. When I started in the public service, we were doing the budget on typewriters. And clearly, times have changed. And so we need to make sure that people are empowered to embrace those new opportunities and to build those competencies to the benefit of themselves and the organization and the country as a whole. So one of the things we've done is look at strategic workforce planning and say that this is something that's really a strategic activity for HR to be able to do and do well and really impacts the bottom line of the organization. So we've been looking at that, and coming out of our readiness assessment, we would have been seeing some other gaps in terms of general HR knowledge. So as David said, you know, yes, you'd have a degree in HR, but the public service is a unique place, and therefore we need to figure out what are some of those things that affect us in terms of the staff orders, the public service regulations, to make sure we bring everything together, looking at the processes, making sure they're streamlined, that they're enabled by technology, and pulling all of those things together to deliver the service, because that's really what it's all about.
Yes. Very interesting. You've been listening to the conversation, Colleen and David, and you are practitioners. How do you feel about what Julianne has just said? Starting with you, David.
Oh, Matt. Got the ball. Yes. Well, the first thing is that we have to recognize that the environment is changing. The technology is changing. The demands are changing. And we need new skills. We need new outlook. And so that change requires the preparation of the HR practitioners as well as the wider workforce. And so like the training for the strategic workforce planning, training in performance coaching, those things are critical to us being equipped and ready to play the new roles that HR function must play, and also to be able to use and provide evidence-based recommendations and decisions. So we don't say, I feel that,
exactly.
You know, or it used to.
Right.
But we have done our assessment, we did our survey, this is the best practice, so and so, and we are making this recommendation. And based on our experience, and based on other experience, we know that this will add some value. And Colleen spoke about the change management tool, because every new process is not just going to be accepted. Right. So we have to, you know, find our change champions, make sure that our heads of departments, heads of agencies are on board with it, and we convince them that these things are beneficial to the organization achieving its goals, yeah, and have that management support. Because without that, and if staff believe that it's just an HR thing, then you are starting behind the 8 wickets. So, you know, it has to be seen that HR is that business partner.
Yes, I'm totally in agreement with all that have been said here. And we talk about transformation, and I think about the two P's, people, processes, and systems. And system is important. We talk about automation. We're talking about processes, and we're talking about strategic workforce planning. And I'm going to throw something in the wigs for HR practitioners who don't like numbers. Strategic planning for HR requires data analysis. It means when you talk about going to the business and talking at the table, your business partners want to hear numbers. Data analytics will tell you what are the numbers, what is the return on investment for training, what's the cost for recruitment. That's the number. So HR have to now get comfortable with using numbers, talking numbers. And so automation, digitalization, strategic workforce planning is all a whole 360 degree view. And the thing about it too, employees are demanding more.
Right.
Employees, you talk about, persons used to talk about employee engagement, but there's no employee experience. Employees want a whole lot of things. They want work from home. They want flexi time. They want to be able to see their records, get things instantly. They don't want to wait too long, 4 days to get a job later. Mm-hmm. And so as HR practitioners and as government employees too, we have to reset, rethink how we operate and how it is that we're going to be providing that shared services, providing service delivery in a particular way. We talk about value-added service for HR to both the business or CEOs or a head of department and our employees who are supposed to be delivering.
Yeah, you have an open audience
definitely,
here.
Definitely.
How do we go forward?
So, you know, I mean, I loved what Colleen said about the employee experience, because that's one of the things that we have seen as very, very important. People want meaningful work. It's not enough to say anymore, I'm just going to stay here and retire at this level. And so, you know, we really have to look at how it is that we do what we do. And I think it's important for us to look at just at those two pieces you're talking about, the process, looking at the governance framework for this new model, looking at the strategy. How does all of, you know, how does the people strategy that we're now crafting, how does that really impact the bottom line and achieve again Vision 2030? How do we redefine what HR looks like in the ministries, departments and agencies to enable them to deliver this new service? And we've been doing some focus groups with the pilot entities that were part of the shared services, and now we're moving forward to make sure that what we do is also evidence-based, that the structure that we put in place, the competencies, the training interventions that are coming up are informed by evidence and data. So definitely data analytics is very, very high on the list of programs that we're going to be looking at. It's all about making sure that we have improved productivity, better engagement, meaningful work, better efficiency, better performance management. That's what the public service is demanding. That's what we must deliver.
Yes, I'm hearing a lot of workshops and sessions. Definitely. And consultations.
Definitely.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been amazing. And we've come to the end, sadly, of this very interesting discussion on the transformation of human resource management in the government of Jamaica. My guests were Trudy and James Linton, HRM Transformation Lead in the Transformation Implementation Unit, Colleen Young-Patterson, Director Organization Development at the Tax Administration, Jamaica, and David Knight, Director of HRM at the Jamaica Information Service. Thanks very much on helping us to understand what the government is doing to improve the management of its most vital resource, employees. And thank you for listening to us. We hope we're good company. I am Aniki Clark, inviting you to check out our website at transformation.gov.jm for links to this and other episodes of the Beyond Reform podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.